Welcome to the bonfire. It's great to be together again. We're walking through the book of Revelation and seven letters specifically that Jesus brings to seven different churches. They are personal messages. There are some aspects of commending, some rebuking. And as we walk with Jesus, we need both. He's our good shepherd. And because he loves us, he will continue to encourage us. And at the same time, because he loves us, he will continue to challenge us. And both are important aspects of love. We always need truth if we're going to grow. And Jesus brings truth to this church, the fourth letter, Thyatira. Now, Thyatira is a smaller town. It's a smaller city known for agriculture and also purple dyes. Now, you're going to read about purple dyes in the book of Acts with Lydia. Thyatira shows up there, but this is not a prominent city. Maybe you've lived in some smaller towns. I lived in Sebastopol in Northern California. When I was serving in a church there, the church parking lot had like six parking spaces. And when we moved up to seven, like, yes, we've got one more space. It was a smaller city, smaller church, you know, just hundreds, and then very small parking space. Overall, it just has a different culture, a different vibe in a small town. My wife's from a very small town in Iowa, and Tipton is the name of the town. I grew up in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul, bigger cities. You might feel more comfortable in a bigger city, or you might feel more comfortable in a smaller town. There's pros and cons. In Thyatira, this is a smaller place, meaning there's not going to be like all these different churches in Thyatira. This is to a church in a smaller setting, and this church in particular has some struggles. There are some challenges that we can relate to, but Jesus is going to be very forthright here. We need to have courageous conversations with each other. We need to know reality. We want to face facts. And at the same time, facts don't have the final say. We walk by faith. And Jesus is trying to help them break out of the patterns of the world. Yes, in small towns, there can be strongholds. Break out of that false religion and false teaching. And then have the living water. Have the living truth. Walk with our living hope, Jesus. And this is going to be a letter that has a little different tone than some of the other ones like Pergamum. So to the church in Thyatira, and this is Revelation chapter 2, and starting in verse 18, the angel of the Lord is writing and speaking to the church in Thyatira, write, these are the words of the Son of God. Now Jesus is called the Son of God and the Son of Man. Both names fit him. He is fully God and fully human. He is the Messiah. His eyes are like blazing fire. His eyes are like blazing fire. Can you imagine just looking into those eyes? And whose feet are like burnished bronze, metals that are polished, metals that are glistening. This combination, fire in the eyes, bronze feet, Jesus is coming with a message of judgment. He's coming with a message of discipline. He's coming with a message of authority. He's coming with a message of holiness. Fire in the eyes. Maybe you've looked at someone and they've got fire in their eyes. Like they are focused. They know what's right. They know what's wrong. They're going for it. Jesus with authority returns. And he's going to begin with an affirmation. Jesus is always full of love, always full of truth. Love and truth go together. Jesus is the truth. God is love. And Jesus says, I know your deeds, your love, your faith, your service, and your perseverance. He's acknowledging a lot of really important, great stuff that's happening in the church at Thyatira. Hear that again. Your love, your faith, your service, and your perseverance. Remember the church in Ephesus? They have drifted from their first love. They stopped doing the things that they used to do. They're not doing those acts of love and service unto the Lord. Here in Thyatira, they're still persevering. They're still serving. And Jesus also says, you are now doing more than you did at first. So Ephesus, they had their first love, what they did at first to serve Jesus, and then they drifted. Now here, they're even doing more when they first started to follow Jesus. So they are active. And notice, there's a remnant. You'll find this sometimes in a single church. You'll find this in a city. You'll find this in a nation. When the nation goes astray, and when the church is apostate, well, what's apostate? Drifting from Scripture. And drifting from God. when the church is apostate and even rejecting what is truth and good from the word, they will reject it. At the same time, God will have a remnant, and the remnant is rising. The remnant is faithful. You want to be part of the remnant. Don't fall into the apostate. And there's some great stuff happening in Thyatira. And remember, as there's both commending and rebuking, sometimes you might have an evaluation, or you might be giving an evaluation at your workplace. It's important to really acknowledge fully all the strengths, the choices, the character, everything that the person is doing admirably. Make sure you spend time and really encourage that person. And then also, don't shrink or belittle some of the aspects where there's opportunities to grow, opportunities to learn. There's some shifts that need to be made, or even repentance that needs to be made. Covering both well, that's what Jesus does. And the transition word here is nevertheless. Yes, these are your strengths. Nevertheless, I have this against you. Now, when God says, I have this against you, that should get our attention. And our attention should then lead to our affection, which leads to our devotion. There's a strong statement, I have this against you. Jesus will use strong statements because some of us need strong statements to wake up and snap out of the sin and come to our senses. I have this against you. He's getting their attention, which then their hearts need to move to have their affection. And then their devotion, they would live differently. So he says, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel. When you hear that name Jezebel, it's not the first time in the Bible. There's a Jezebel in the Old Testament. The Jezebel in the Old Testament was married to Ahab, and she made a lot of wicked choices. She was directly against God and God's purity, God's word. She was against the prophet Elijah. Now, she was strong. She had people killed. She was crafty, and she was bold in the wrong direction. Elijah was afraid, and he ran into the cave. It was a response to Jezebel in the Old Testament. This is a different Jezebel here, but the Jezebel in the Old Testament, that spirit of that Jezebel, which is dominant, against God, crafty, and Elijah the prophet was fearful. God had to bring him out of the cave with a tender voice, bring him out of the cave with questions. What are you doing here, Elijah? What's your purpose on earth? Elijah, bring him out of the cave as he retreats in fear and intimidation. Listen, there's a lot of followers of Jesus today because the culture is turning more against Scripture and against the gospel, against the Lord. There's a lot of people retreating into caves. There's a spirit of Jezebel that can prevail, and it leads to a silencing and intimidation and then dropping our purpose. That's in the Old Testament. You can take a deep dive on that story and how God not only reassures Elijah to come out of the cave, but there's 7,000 others that are a remnant, that are rising up, that are strong in the Lord and will not bend the knee. And Jezebel, you might think of intimidation, very intimidating in the Old Testament. And here we read a similar spirit and the similar effects. To the church, you're tolerating the woman Jezebel. She calls herself a prophetess. So a lot of people are self-proclaimed. And, you know, I'm a leader, I'm a teacher, I'm God's prophet, I'm God's apostle. They might even have a title in the church. I'm an elder, I'm a deacon, I'm a staff member, I'm a leader, a small group leader. She calls herself a prophetess, but by her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. So what is she doing? She's giving a false message. There's lie, manipulation. There's a twisting of the truth and then bringing it with confidence, looking you in the eyes, saying that. And what does it lead to? This false license to just go ahead and do whatever you want sexually, no accountability, and rejecting God's standards. She is in a position of leadership. She's in a position of influence, and she's making terrible choices. She's spreading the wrong message. Many people are stumbling, and the result of the stumbling is that there's sexual immorality. When you see sexual immorality happen with people who know the Lord and follow the Lord, that's the action that surfaces. But underneath that, there's been a drifting from the Lord. There's been some lies, some false teaching. There's been some twisting of Scripture. There's been a stumbling that goes deeper than just the action. And that's what's happening here. So Jesus says, I have given her time to repent of her immorality. God is gracious. He will step in. And through the Holy Spirit, He will convict. Through the Word, He will convict. Through His people, He will convict. And what does that conviction look like? It's a loving call to return to God. It's a loving call to turn away from sin. It's a loving call to change our ways. And God does this over and over and over with us, again and again and again. God will gently say, "This is the way, walk in it." And then sometimes He will strongly say, "This is the way, walk in it." I was just talking to someone this morning that said God had to really get their attention before they changed. There was a refiner's fire in their life before they took it seriously, owned it, and went in a new direction. Jesus is loving all of us. Part of that includes warnings. Love includes warnings. And I've given her time to repent. There's a reasonable amount of time, and then there's even more time, and it's grace time. So there's, you know, initial time, there's full time, now there's grace time, there's extra time given. I like soccer. Soccer always has injury time, and you wonder, how much more time is there going to be? Because you play for 90 minutes in soccer, and then the referee is kind of thinking through, wait, we slowed down, someone was injured, we slowed down, the ball was out of play. All these different factors, and then the referee will say, well, we're playing this much more. And there's additional time. There's injury time. There's extra time. And here I've given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. There are people that if you give them 10 warnings, if you give them 10 weeks, if you give them 10 months, if you give them 10 years, it's not about how long. It's not about how many times, it's about the condition of the heart. And Jezebel is unwilling to change. Jezebel doesn't want to come into the light. Jezebel holding on to the darkness, leading others into the darkness. She is unwilling. When Christ returns, we see this picture here, fire in the eyes, the return of Christ, and there's going to be a final battle, Armageddon. There's going to be people with their fists to God, and they refuse to repent, even though all the evidence is so clear. They just simply hate the light. They hate God. They hate Jesus, unwilling to change, to bend a knee, to give Him praise, to thank God our Maker. So Jesus says, I'm going to cast her on the bed of suffering. I'll make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely, unless they repent of their ways. So they could still repent. When consequences come, you can still repent. I talked to someone this week, had been in prison for decades and refused to repent. Finally, a couple years ago, chose to follow Jesus, receive God's pardon, receive God's forgiveness. As long as you're breathing, you can still repent. As long as I'm breathing, I can still repent. We don't have to go to the grave against God. And repenting of the ways. If there's no repentance, there's no change. This word metanoia, a change of the mind, a change of the heart. Repentance is not, oh, I got caught. That's not repentance. Repentance is not, I don't like the consequences. That's not repentance. Repentance is not, oh, emotionally, I feel like I probably should repent. And there's a few tears for a couple minutes. That's not repentance. Repentance is change. It's a change of lifestyle, which is a change of the heart, change of the mind, and repentance bears fruit. John the Baptist would say, you can tell who's repented by the fruit. And repentance is a new direction, 180-degree change. Repent, when you repent, it's always wise, it's always good, it always leads to restoration. It always leads to healing. It always leads to connecting again, to integrity. It always leads to good things. But if you try to skip over repentance and you try to fake it, it's not going to last. And if you never repent, if you're not really repentant, it might look like someone has. And throughout the Bible, you see lots of examples of that. It might look like someone has, but they haven't really changed. Saul appears to be sorry that he's trying to kill David, an innocent man. He appears to be sorry. And then he just goes back to trying to kill David again and again and again and again. He didn't repent. And if not repentance, Jesus said, there's going to be some discipline. And not only for her, but her children, meaning her followers, those who are choosing the same path of false teaching and sexual immorality, then all the churches will know, not just one, but all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds. So what happens in one church in a city can affect all the churches in a region. So not just one church, but all the churches will know Jesus searches hearts and minds. He's the one who knows us. He's the one who is going to help us become like him. He's the only one who can help us become like him. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God, help us to become more like Jesus. And Jesus says, I will repay each of you according to your deeds. God will not be mocked. What you reap is what you sow. We have an accountability to our Maker. And then, now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her, don't hold to her teaching. And also, this is a little bit of, I would call this almost sarcasm, well, irony. You do not have the learned secrets, so-called deep secrets of Satan. So when there's false teaching and when people go off track, they try to make it sound so deep. Oh, I'm enlightened. You know, this is what the Bible says, but oh, I'm so far beyond the Bible. Whenever you hear that stuff, that's a yellow flag. You know, this is what God's revealed to me. It's totally different than the Bible. Everyone in the room saying that's not from God. They're like, this is what God revealed to me. It's so deep. No, there's a lot of junk that's called deep and secrets. And this is why the enemy works. The devil, and referred to here again as Satan, twists scripture. When the devil tempted Jesus, twisting the psalm, trying to get Jesus to jump and put God to the test, the devil will twist half-truths. The devil will start with some scripture and then take you off track with the second half or the interpretation. There's just a history in the church of bad interpretations that lead to unnecessary consequences and people going astray. Well-intentioned people sometimes going astray with bad interpretations of a Bible verse. When Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out, that's not a literal statement. And yet you've got church leaders throughout history and how they've tried to, in literally, Origen taking out his eyes. Like, no, that's not what the Bible says. That's a physical example, but there's also so many spiritual examples. Baptism is not needed for salvation. People try to twist some verses. You can't earn your way to heaven. People try to twist verses with that. Over and over again, there's a twisting of verses. Some people say money's evil. That's a twisting of the verse. That's not what the Bible says. It says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. So stay alert, friends. Stay alert for what you're hearing these days. Like this church in Thyatira, we need to hold on to the truth. The remnant in Thyatira is holding on. And that's literally what Jesus says. Only hold on to what you have until I come. That sounds kind of simple. Hold on until I come. That's the message. Hold on. Now, you could exhort people with that. Just hold on. Hold on. Like, stay the course. Stay strong. Keep your eyes on Jesus. If you're going through a time right now where the spiritual battle's fierce and there's lots of pulls in the wrong direction, pull you towards impurity, pull you away from scripture, pull you away from prayer, pull you away from worship, pull you away from church, all those different pulls, pull you to a place where you feel discouraged, pull you into the lie that God doesn't know and he doesn't care, pull you into a friendship you shouldn't be in, pull you into some secret sins. Pulls. You're getting pulled in so many directions, and yet you know the road ahead, the one from the Lord is good. You just say, hold on. Hold on, oh my soul. Hold on, friend. Hold on. Stay the course. Walk with Jesus. Walk in the light. Walk with the wise. Surround yourself with people who know the difference between the lies of the enemy and the truth of God, who are fixed on Jesus and will continue to move forward. When I think back to those years in California, I'm grateful for a remnant. I'm grateful. It was not easy in that city to say, we believe God's word. And people would challenge us. They would say, oh, we're hateful. Or they would say, you know, we're full of fear and we're not like Jesus. And it's like, no, we just believe Jesus. We believe God's word. And in America, there's a lot of times where if you are following Christ, you're going to become more and more countercultural. Our culture has become more like Babylon, and there's so many ways to stumble right now. And in the scripture, the stumbling comes from one of three places. It either comes from inside of you and evil desires, or it comes from a temptation in the world, or it comes from the enemy. Literally, there's evil, there's the demons, and there's also Satan. And we see all three here in the letter to the church at Thyatira, and we need to be aware, be alert. The Bible says, don't get sleepy spiritually. Be alert. Take heed lest you fall. Be diligent. Keep your spiritual fervor. Keep cultivating the habits that God gives us so that our souls will stay on fire. Don't keep going back again to the same foolishness. Move forward. Move forward by faith. Put your faith in action. And this is really a tone in Thyatira that's a little different than the other letters. This is a church that's compromised. There are people in the church in Thyatira that are bringing a corruption. There are people in the church that are bringing a message that's false, that are leading people astray. There are people in the church who are making sexually immoral choices. You say, well, what's that? That could be pornography. That could be sleeping together before marriage. That could be adultery with someone else's spouse. That could be, you know, there's a lot of forms of sexual immorality, and that's what's happening in the church. There's corruption, and instead of Thyatira being this bright light, instead, it's kind of dim, and it's a mixture where there's a little bit of light and a little bit of bright and then a whole bunch of worldliness, and Jezebel is having an influence, and the church is struggling. As this letter to Thyatira concludes, we read about the morning star. The morning star is hope. The morning star is that bright star. In the darkness of the night, before morning comes, here comes the morning star. And Jesus, our morning star, Jesus brings hope in the darkness. Because Thyatira, Jesus is risen. Because Jesus is returning. Because Jesus loves you. You have hope, even though things look difficult. In America right now, even though the statistics in the young generation is a lot of drifting from God, even though there's less people worshiping in local churches than ever before, even though lies are more pervasive, sin is more bold, there's a deterioration morally in our country, even though all that's happening, what's happening online, more people turning to Jesus, what's happening in terms of baptisms, we just had 12,000 in one day, you know, what's happening in terms of some of the movies and television shows and songs, and what's happening in terms of the remnant in local churches, what's happening right now in terms of momentum and gatherings on college campuses, like there's a remnant, God is doing something, there is hope, and things can change. Jesus is getting the attention of the church in Thyatira, and we have a lot of local churches in our country like Thyatira that need to stop the nonsense, stop the sexual immorality, right? Stop the lies, stop the compromise, just stop that noise and get right with God. Repent, rise up as a remnant, and shine the light. It's a call to the local church to be vibrant. And then the final line, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. What a great exhortation. How are we going to repent and overcome and stay true and not be duped and deceived by Jezebel? And how are we going to have a purity revolution in a world right now that has a lot of spiritual pollution? How are we going to do it? Where do we start? Well, we start right here, we start right now, and we listen to what the Spirit says. We open up God's Word. We love to do that at the bonfire. Today has a little more fire. There's fire in Jesus' eyes. Fire brings a warmth. Fire, we just had a cookout backyard. Fire's fun, right? We're making s'mores together. Fire's a gathering place. All those are true with the fire. Fire brings warmth and love. God is love, God is light. God is a consuming fire. We also know in Scripture, fire is refining. Refiner's fire. We come forth like gold, but we go through the fire. Jesus has fire in his eyes. We're going to hold on. We're going to overcome. And as we do that, here's the key. Open up your ears. Listen to what the Spirit says. The Holy Spirit speaking to the churches. Always the same message from the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You don't have the Father taking you one way, and then the Son says something totally different. You don't have the Holy Spirit saying one thing and Jesus saying something different. And Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the message is here in Scripture. You don't have Scripture saying one thing and then the Trinity saying something else. God is not a God of confusion, but a God of peace. God has promises. God has power. And we need to listen to the Holy Spirit. In some passage, you hear, listen to the Father. Like Jesus in the morning gets away from the noise, listens to the Father. And then some passage you have, listen to the Good Shepherd, Jesus, not a stranger's voice. And then some passage you have, listen to the Holy Spirit. But it's listen, 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 listen to God's word. What is the Holy Spirit communicating to you today? In our time together, what has God been saying to you? Write down what stands out, which verses stand out. Write down which truth stands out. Write down which practical steps, next steps stand out. What is God communicating to you? What does he want you to do at your church? Who does he want you to apologize to? Who does he want you to encourage? Who does he want you to serve and talk to and use your gifts? What are the situations that you see right now that are one degree off that need to shift and get right and align with heaven, align with the word? What is God giving you to rise up and shine your light? The light of the world, that's who you are. So don't put it under a bowl. What does God want you to say? God's giving you a voice, and your voice is to share your story, to share about Jesus, to ask questions, to have courageous conversations, to speak hope into people that are thinking about suicide, to speak some purpose into some people who are just wayward and wandering and don't know what their life is all about. Like, God's giving you a voice and talents and strength and physical ability and all these gifts to rise up and shine the light. And for Thyatira, some people are going to need to rise up. For your city and church, some people are going to need to rise up. And for our nation, some people are going to need to rise up. And you might think, that's not me. That's not me. It is you. And so in Thyatira, the message from Jesus, hold on, listen to what the Spirit's saying, don't compromise, get away from the corruption, and live for the glory of God. That's the call in our lives today. The message of Thyatira is for us. Let's open up our ears. Let's listen to Jesus. Let's abide with him, bear much fruit, glorify him, and don't be discouraged by what you see in the culture. Instead, keep your eyes on Jesus. Run the good race. And that's what the bonfire is all about. The presence of God where we live, work, learn, or play. We're so grateful that God loves us so much to speak truth and love us at every step of the way forward. Listen to what the Spirit's saying. Let's do this together. Thanks for gathering at the bonfire. If this encouraged you today, share it with someone else. And let's spread the good news. God has hope that's infinite, indestructible. And we need to be people who receive and give that hope every day. That's our heart here at the bonfire. Thanks so much. And we'll see you next week.